Everybody doing all right? Except for the foul weather, right? Who's leaving going back north this week? No one? Oh, yeah. Can't always be blessed, can you? Mom and Dad will stay, though. I know they don't leave till end of April. We're in the book of Psalms. We started a study of Psalms last week. Remember what I told you? Psalm, the word Psalm is really an arbitrary word. It's not the name that the Hebrews gave the book. They call it the Tehillim. To them, that word means praises. Psalms comes from the Greek translation of it. Psalm literally means that it was put to string music. But it would be better if we titled it, for the sake of our own understanding, just call it songs, because that's what it is. We've read it so much in many cases, like myself, that we forget that this was originally set to music. Original words that are set to music. So you're reading songs. So our first song selection is going to be Song 1 or Psalm 1. I would like to ask also, I've allowed the other two services to do this, and so I guess I'm going to let you do it too. In fact, I need your help. I would like for you, if you have a psalm that you love, one of them that you really like, or one that you really would like to hear me preach on, I would like you to write that down on a piece of paper and place it in the offering plate. I know we've already had the offering, but next week or the next couple of weeks or whatever, if you have a psalm that you really would like for me to touch on, there's 150 of these psalms. I'm not going to be preaching on every last one of them. But I would kind of like to know maybe the way the Spirit's moving among us. And again, just in honor of the flavor of what this is, they're songs. So we're taking song selections, if that makes sense. So if you'd help me with the song selections out of the Psalms here, the song book of the Bible, I would appreciate it, and we'll see. I may or may not preach on it. I can't guarantee that. But at least I would like to see the ones that mean the most to you. And maybe we'll give it, and maybe I'll just read them off, you know, if nothing else, to just say these are the requests I got and the ones that mean a lot to the people that are here. Well, we're going to be in Psalm 1. And we're going to get to that in just a second. There's a story that I've heard. I don't know if it's true. Anybody here from Ohio? Ohio, anybody from the overflow? We really appreciate those who are sitting in the overflow because they're not in here. No, they're over there. Ohioans, we got several that are here. Overflow has got 80, I believe, 88 people in it, and we're 240 people in this room. And so we appreciate those who are willing to sit over there and watch us on the screen and do all this. Thanks for coming to our church. It's a great problem to have that we're this full. We appreciate you, your faithfulness to our church in every way. There's a story told about a particular courthouse in Ohio, and the reason why I asked for those from Ohio, because maybe they know what this story is true. It was just told to me. I've not been there. I couldn't find a picture of it or anything like that. This particular courthouse is situated in such a way on a particular hill that the rain that falls on the north side of the courthouse falls down the roof, down into the yard, into a creek. This creek eventually leads into Lake Erie, which, of course, crosses Niagara Falls, Lake Ontario, keeps traveling north all the way to the Gulf of St. Lawrence, which is way up in a very large gulf up in the northeast portion of Canada. The rain that falls on the other side of the roof, and we're talking about, you know, raindrops not even a foot apart from each other, flows the other way. It doesn't flow into Lake Ontario and Gulf of St. Lawrence. Rain that falls on that side flows down into a creek that goes south, ultimately into the Ohio River, which leads into the Mississippi, which, of course, leads into the Gulf of Mexico. So raindrops that start off a foot apart end up in vastly different places. And that's sort of actually an excellent illustration of what we find here in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 begins by essentially, it opens up the book of Psalms and says to us, before you read any more in this book, try to sing any more of these songs, you need to pick a side. Pick a side that you're going to fall on. You pick the wrong side, you're going to find out that this book really isn't for you. Pick the right side, oh, there's great blessings, there's incredible riches in this place. But choose wisely the side that you fall on, because it may not seem like it's very far from the other side, but where they wind up, woo boy, great distances. Reminded me of a grave marker. Here it is. Nancy Carney. I don't know her. This is what it says on a grave marker. Beware, young friends, As you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare, therefore, to follow me. Kind of morbid, isn't it? It's kind of reality, though. You are going to go where she is. Down below, you can't see it on this, but somebody scratched with a stone or a piece of glass or something these words. To follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went. Pretty smart. I have to agree. Not sure which way Nancy went, but we got to choose our own way, don't we? We need to pick our side. And that's where we are here in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 asks you to begin from the beginning saying, I'm going to be either blessed or cursed. Anybody want to be cursed? You always ask who wants to be blessed. That's kind of a stupid question. Who wants to be cursed here? Anyone? Overflow people? No one wants to be cursed. It's interesting. I ask the same to a crowd, Christian or non. It doesn't make any difference. Everybody wants to be blessed. I mean, who doesn't want to be blessed, right? The thing is that it's not just a matter of saying, I want to be blessed. It's a matter of you need to choose which side you fall on, and that's determined by your decisions that you're going to make as soon as the service is over. So it's not a matter of I just push a button and I'm on the blessed side, or I push a button and I'm on the cursed side. No, you got to choose which side you're going to walk on. And that's the direction that you're going to be given by this, in some very definitive terms here, by this psalm. So let's read it together. Notice it's going to tell us to pick a side. How blessed is the man, it says, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's the wrong side. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the right side. And on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked, it says, are not so. They are like chaff with the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish, to be certain that it will. Not a blessed way. So pick a side. Pick a direction. It starts off by just simply saying the word blessed. Now, that word blessed can mean a lot of things as far as we're concerned, but I want to make it very clear what it means actually in the Hebrew. The word for blessed in the Hebrew is a word that's often translated in the Hebrew language as happy. You know what happy is, don't you? Happy, blessed, they're sort of the same, they mean the same things in a Hebrew mind. So I want you to understand the writer of this psalm, who was King David, or it's credited to King David, I should say, we don't know for sure. The writer of this psalm wanted you to understand, we understand what happy, I may not understand what blessings are so much, but you understand what happiness is. It's a part of who we are. I mean, it's a part of our declaration of independence, for crying out loud. I mean, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? And it always seems like that's what it really is. It's just a pursuit, like we never actually catch it. In fact, in our society, it's almost like every time we catch it, it runs a little bit further away. We try it with job, we try it with money, we try it with new stuff. You know how long new stuff is new? Yeah. Till you buy it, and then it's not new anymore. Got myself a new car with, I don't know, $900 a month payments. Okay. That's going to get real old fast, trust me. We have an affinity for that which makes us happy, don't we? We search it from a lot of things. Most of those things give a fleeting sense of euphoria. We're the wealthiest, healthiest, most educated people to grace the planet. You realize this generation, not just in America, this generation is healthiest, wealthiest, most educated, and the least happy. Isn't that crazy? Shouldn't be that way. It's sad. What's happened to us? What's missing? And what about these weird people out there who say that no matter what the circumstances, that they're blessed, that they're happy, that they're joyful? They're the odd ones, it seems, anymore. We're going to learn about those odd people because the Bible tells us how to become one of them. And it begins by telling us, like I said, which side to get off of. It gives us a recipe of which side to fall on and how to follow that recipe. We got to follow. It's not just a matter of choosing that recipe. We have to follow that recipe. Because if you cook up something else, well, it just won't turn out that way. Don't you know? So the side to get off on, it begins here in verse 1 by saying it's the side that walks in the counsel of the wicked. Do you walk in the counsel of the wicked? Not me. I don't have any wicked people in my life, right? Let's make sure of that. Psalm 1 is very strategic. It's here as a doorkeeper. It's set up as a threshold that you have to cross. Like I said before, it's as if it's standing here saying, how many of you watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Remember Gandalf standing there, you shall not pass. That's kind of what this psalm is. You shall not pass past this if you cannot agree with what this says. Pick a side, because if you fall on the wrong side, really the rest of the book is really not for you. Tons of stuff in here, and I guess you can read it, but if it's going to mean anything to you, you're going to have to pick the side that is recommended here in chapter 1, Psalm 1. Pick a side. You can't heed what this first psalm says, well, then the rest of the psalms, plural, are not for you. They're really not. And in general, what this psalm says is, it says that a person that wants to be blessed, is that you? Must be wise in their relationships with people and wise in their relationship with God. Can't have one or the other because they exclude each other. If I'm not wise in my relationships with God, I can't be wise in my relationships with people. And if I'm not wise in my relationship with people, I can't be wise in my relationship with God. Just any old body I can hang out with, no big deal. I give them my ear, I give them my time, I give them effectively my heart. Well, then I'm not going to be very wise in my relationship with God. I'm not going to fall on the blessed side. Again, it's a decision that I make every single day. People who you associate with can be either good for you or bad for you. There's really no in between. There's no mediums. It's either good or it's bad. It's kind of like that roof. Now, sometimes the good and the bad are not very far apart, but 1 foot difference on that particular roof in Ohio, if it really exists, the end result is a huge difference. A huge difference. Be very careful the side that you're winding up on. And again, let's read the word here. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That is, a person who doesn't listen to, doesn't give their ear to, doesn't let themselves be ministered to. We all have ministry needs, don't we? God has created us to be relational. That's the reason why in prison, solitary confinement, away from relationships of people is considered an incredible punishment, because we were created to be in relationship and in conversation with people. I'm a very people person. When my wife leaves town to go see her mom or for whatever reason, see our girls or whatever, I find myself talking. Do anybody do that when you're by yourself? I never thought I would talk to myself. I thought that was really dumb. I found myself talking to myself. Bill, you need to do this and that. Why is that? Because I'm in need of my other personality, at least, to have a relationship with. I'm in need of a conversation. I don't talk to animals normally, but when I'm by myself, I talk to my animals because I need somebody to bounce something off of. We're in need of a relationship. And so what it's talking about here is someone who is ministering to you that need. You have a need for relationships? That's great. God created you that way. Make sure that need is not being met by wicked people. And you say, oh, it's not a problem, Pastor Bill. I don't have any wicked people in my life. Are you sure? Because what you think wicked is and what the Bible says wicked is, maybe very well, in fact, it is probably two different things. See, if I said someone is not a good person, that means one thing. He's not that good of a person. Someone else, I say, that's a bad person. Oh, that means he's a little bit worse. That person is a wicked person. Oh, like Hitler, right? Wicked people. There's only a few of those in the whole wide world. That's the way we define wicked, but that's not the way the writer of the psalm defined wicked. Wicked comes from, actually, it comes from a Greek word that means twisted. Anybody have wicker furniture? You ever take a look at what it's made out of? It's made of twisted material. Wicker, it comes from the same principle. How twisted do you have to be to not be straight? Now, just a little off, you see. So we define wicked as something heinous, something incredibly far, way out there. I got no wicked people in my life. Oh, I bet you do. In fact, I bet to a certain degree you are one. Aren't we all a little messed up? So I can't even hang out with myself? In some ways, maybe I shouldn't listen to my own stuff. That's probably right. See, we're all wicked people to certain levels, right? But the difference between a wicked person and a person who's walking on the blessed side is a person who's walking with the one who's not wicked. There's only one of those. His name is Jesus. Following him. Jesus had a pretty dark crowd. He made some decisions about friends that I don't know if I would recommend. But the difference between Jesus' friends and maybe your friends is they're both wicked. But the ones that were following him were walking away from their wickedness. That's the crowd you want. You're not going to find anybody that's not messed up. We all got issues. We've all got problems. But the people that are turning away from those things, that's the crowd that you want to be with. The one that owns their wickedness, believes in their wickedness, loves their wickedness, not seeking to get away from their wickedness, is not the ones that you want to give your ear or your heart or your time or the ministry needs, like I said, that you have for fellowship, for relationship. The world, this word carries two ideas. Word wicked refers to a person who's loose morally. It doesn't mean they have to be horribly morally loose. But more than anything, it also means, secondly, that they're loose from God. That's the real problem. They really don't have God as a directing force in their lives. And they may say it. I've known some people that were just a little bit twisted. Not real bad. And they would say to me, "Oh no, me and God are tight." Well, you're not tight enough, you see, to tighten up your morals, because it doesn't bother you when you do this or when you don't do that. It should. Should. Doesn't mean you're perfect. I'm not asking you. You're not looking for a perfect crowd. If you find a perfect crowd, don't join it, because you're going to mess it up. Don't join that crowd. You want to join, of course, an imperfect crowd, because there's no other crowd like but that. But who is pursuing perfection, pursuing Christ, pursuing the one who is correct in all things, not twisted in any way, always straight. That's the crowd you're looking for. That's the one that you want to follow. Effectively, what this word is saying is simply to us, it's saying, learn to be allergic to bad influences. Learn to be allergic to bad influences. Learn to realize this person is not going in the direction that they're falling on the wrong side. They're not for me. You can love them. Minister to them. Absolutely. Receive ministry from them. No. Advice from them. No. Counsel from them. No. Let them into the inner circle of who you are. No. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But if you fall and you stay on the wrong side of the roof, it's going to turn into a real big deal. If I told you that there's a certain person in your life who's trying to destroy you, would you get away from that person? Listen, a person with just a little twist, or maybe a lot of twists, it makes either way, is a person who, whether they intend to or not, is messing up your life. Because they're headed in the wrong way, and you're running with them. You're walking with them. Which way are they walking? They're not walking with Jesus, right? That's the whole big issue. Mess up people both ways. But I got a messed up person who's trying to walk with the one who's not messed up. That's the person I'm walking with. The rest of the people may not hardly be any difference in the way that they practice necessarily. This one was saved yesterday and just trying to clean their life up. And this one is maybe better in some ways morally in some ways. But this person is walking the right direction. I'm walking with them. I'm going with them. Don't break this rule, because it'll break you. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Look at the direction of the lives that you hang out with. I just want you to think for just a second. Let's just stop. I want you to think about the people that you spend the most time with, that you hang out with. How are their lives turning out? Good or bad? I'm not asking if they don't have tragedy or sickness or that kind of thing. I'm saying, in general, based upon their decisions and the direction their life is going, how are they turning out? Good or bad? Just a question. Do they have a job? And what I mean is, we're living in a hard, tough job market, I understand that. But are they doing their best to provide for themselves and to be a contributing person in society? Are they have the capacity to do all those things, but they're just simply not choosing to do it? Just a question. Do they have an education? Again, I'm not saying only hang out with smart people. Dumb people, exclude all them. Because they're going to, maybe you that gets excluded. What I'm saying is, do they have the capacity to learn, and are they bettering themselves? That's what I'm looking at. This is kind of like a job interview for an employer. You're making a job interview for a friend. Can you hold down a job? Can you learn? Do you want to learn? People that aren't interested in these things ought not be in a close personal relationship with you. They just, not that they don't need ministry, but they really do. This is not a person you want to influence in your life, because this is not, ask yourself the question, do I want to turn into them? Your friends. Ask yourself that question. This person is really a friend, a person I really want to hang out with, and I want to be with him all the time. So, okay, do you want to be them? I mean, if I could snap my fingers and turn you into them? Oh no, Pastor Bill, that guy's weird. Okay, well then what are you doing? Why do you want to be with them? Because the Bible says you're going to turn into them if you're not careful. You will. Again, job, education, they have healthy relationships. Do they get along with others? Do they play with others well? These are important questions. Do they make wise choices? Are they in it for themselves or are they in it for others? These are all just broad generalities, right? Kind of like a job interview, it really is. Oh, no, Pastor Bill, you don't understand, but they have a good heart. Okay, so let's see. What proceeds from my heart is what I do and the direction I go in my life. So what part of their heart is good? You're telling me they got a good heart, but they got nothing good about them. You should say fired. You should say fired. You're not going to be in my close circle of friends. Like I said, don't go to them and say you're fired. Pastor Bill said that you're fired. I'm just mean in your attitude. You need to be allergic to certain people who are twisted and they're not willing to get untwisted. Those are not the people you walk with. Those are not the people you receive counsel from. Those are not the people you receive influence from. There isn't hardly anything good about them, but you're calling them a good person. Let me ask you this. Are they these people who you're hanging out with? Are they your ideal life? I want to grow up and be just like them. Are they? If they're not, then why are you currently hanging out with them? Why are they in the inner circle of your friends? Love them, minister to them, but receiving ministry from them? It's not smart. You're headed in a bad direction. You will not be exception to the scriptures. No one is. Do you want your life to turn out like theirs? Then why are you giving them your attention? If I could pick, I want you to think about this for a second. If you could pick one person, people that you know, not some weird person out there on television or whatever, that you really don't know what their lifestyle. I'm talking about people that you know them. You know their lifestyle. You know the decisions that they make. If you could snap your fingers and turn into that person, who would that person be? Someone in the early service said Pastor Bill, and I gave them an A. You don't know me, though. I mean, I stand up here and preach, but this is just stuff that's in my head. You don't really know my heart. Few people know me. I'm talking about somebody that you know. Snap your fingers, and you would turn into them. Now, I'm talking about somebody alive. Now, if that person is not within the inner circle of your influences, in fact, that person is not like the person that is within the inner circle of your influences, why do you have these people in your influence? You want to be like somebody different than the people you hang out with? Well, let me tell you something. That's not going to happen. You're turning into whoever you hang out with, whoever your friends are, whoever you get your advice from, whoever you receive counsel from. In fact, they are. Tell me who your friends are and what? I will tell you who you are. Mom and Dad used to say that all the time. I don't believe that. Well, Scripture actually says it. Do not be deceived. If this is true for you, you are deceived. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Notice, could corrupt good morals? No. Might corrupt good morals? No. Should? Would? No. It says an absolute. Bad company corrupts good morals. You will not be an exception to this. You got good morals. You're headed in the right direction, but you're falling on the wrong side if you have bad company. People with just a little twist and unwilling to get untwisted. They're not for you. They shouldn't be in your inner circle. They should not be. By the way, guys, this also includes what you watch, what you read, what you listen to. They're your friends because you're listening to them. They're your friends because you're piping it in your head all the time. You're piping it through your eyes. They're your influences. Do you want to be like them? Then why are you hanging out with them? Why are you listening to them? They won't influence me. I'm my own person. Okay. You're your own person then. Well, here's a challenge for you. Walk away. You don't need them. Just you and Jesus, right? Walk away. If you truly don't believe they can influence you, then don't let them influence you. Walk away. Here's the one you get all the time. Jesus hung out with sinners. Number one, you're not Jesus. Number one. So he raised the dead, walked on water, healed the sick, opened blind eyes, unstopped ears, made 5 loaves and 2 fishes, go a long ways, right? Have you been doing those things? Me neither. You're not Jesus. But number two, like I said already, Jesus hung out with messed up people. Former prostitutes, former swindlers, liars, cheats. Matthew was the worst. Tax collectors were, I mean, bad people. Bad people. Zacchaeus, ooh. Hated for all the right reasons. But they began to hang out with Jesus because that wasn't what they really wanted to be. They were on the wrong side of the roof and they knew it, and they knew Jesus was the only way out of it. And they became immediately, because of that decision, a good crowd. Because they're falling on the right side. You see what I'm saying? Jesus hung out with people who were walking in repentance, not perfect people. Hang out with sinners, of course. What options do you have? There's nothing but sinners down here. But sinners who are walking in a direction of the one who's paid for their sins, that's the ones, the sinners you want to walk with, not the other ones. The other ones that love their sin, that don't really have ties to God, they're not really anchored with God and the things of God, well, they're not for you. They shouldn't be if you want to fall on the right side. If you want to fall on the blessed side. And notice the progression. It doesn't stop with the council. Notice, it's not just a matter of walking in the council. Notice what happens. Number two, it says, blessed is the man who walks in the council of the wicked. Number two, and nor stand in the path of sinners. So I was once moving with them, and now they've stopped, and so I've stopped with them. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. The other things it means is that I'm now taking their stance on things. See, I'm not just listening to them. I'm taking their stance on issues that I would find myself in opposition, that the Savior's on the other side, if you will. I'm taking a stance, maybe with the vast majority, but to come to find out Jesus is over there. I got myself a problem. How did I get here, right? You got there by listening to the same knuckleheads that you're now standing with. It's inevitable. Oh, I'll never stand with them. Watch. Watch. You're not going to be an exception to the scriptures. And the progression continues. It doesn't just stop with standing. It stops with stopping, right? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Follow the progression. First I'm walking, then I'm standing, then I'm sitting. Walking, standing, sitting. The progression is downhill. Moving, stalling, stationary. Listening to them, thinking like them, and then bam, I am one of them. Sit in the seat of scoffers means you're sitting right where they are. You don't just hold their position. You are one of them. You know what a scoffer is? Person that scoffs at God's description of what life ought to be. God's description of how we ought to think. God's description of how we ought to talk. God's description of how we ought to act or live. A scoffer sits at that and says, psh, stupid. Is that who you are? Oh, I would never be that way. But you're walking in the council of the wicked? Just wait. And you're going to get there and say, how did I ever get here? Well, I'm going to turn you back to chapter 1. Verse 1. This is the progression that everyone takes. No one just wakes up that way. They all go downhill, especially a person that wanted to land on the right side of the roof, if you will. They started off as a person who was listening to counsel, and then they started holding those positions, and then, like I said, bam, they became one of them. You're not just thinking like them anymore. You are one of them. And let me just say this to you. If that's where you get, let me just say, welcome to the messed up side of the life. Welcome to the wrong side of the roof. Welcome to the roof that the Bible has a whole lot to say about. You're now a biblical person, but in the wrong way. The Bible speaks against you instead of in favor of you. The Bible doesn't speak blessings over you. It speaks curses over you. You have arrived, to be sure, but the destination is not what you intend. I wanted to be blessed. You can't snap your fingers and do that. It's a decision that you make, and it means everything who is close to you. It means everything who you give your heart to, who you give your ear to. It means everything those who you consider to be your close personal friends. If you're not careful with that, then I'm telling you, this is where you're headed. This is exactly where you're headed. Ever seen one of those? What is that? It is a pumpkin. But notice, what does it look like, though? It's got the image of Frankenstein, doesn't it? Now, look carefully at it. You notice this is a genuine pumpkin. It's on a vine and all that kind of stuff. It's not carved. You can carve, you know, we can carve a pumpkin, carve a jack-o'-lantern. This is actually a pumpkin, not carved in any way. They plant it with a seed that looks just like that, and it grows to look just like, you believe that? Grows just like a, they carve the little seed and they put it in the ground. Now, this is actually just a regular pumpkin. By the way, you can have these every year. They sell them $100 a piece. But, I mean, think about it. You don't have to carve it. To me, a $3 jack-o'-lantern beats that, hands down. But the way they get these is that's a regular pumpkin that turns out, you know, round or oval or whatever. And when it's green and small, they have a cast iron mold that they wrap around it and they bolt around this, and it's got plenty of room on the inside, but as the pumpkin begins to grow and begins to use up the room, the only room it can grow is in the shape of the mold. And the shape of the mold is many different, but they have primarily one is the, they call it pumpkin steins. Like I said, they're getting $100 a piece for them. That's pretty good money for a pumpkin. But the pumpkin can only grow in the shape of the mold that surrounds it. I thought that was a very interesting and maybe very direct illustration of what we're looking at today. What mold are you growing into? The mold of those you surround yourself with. You will not grow in any other mold. And you cannot escape that mold. So make sure that the mold that surrounds you is the mold that is shaped in the image of Christ. Because if it is not, what you turn out to be is going to be something hideous. You're going to say, how did I get here? Like I said, the Bible's already told you how it's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And again, I want to ask you that question. One person. That one person. You could snap your fingers and your life would be just like theirs. A person that you know, not a person, fictitious person that you don't know on television or something like that. A person that you know personally. Is that person in your inner circle? Is that person like your inner circle? Are the people in your inner circle, do they have the same characteristics of this person, the same attitude, the same direction, the same goals? If the people in your inner circle are not like that person, then what, in the name of common sense, are you doing? Why are you surrounding yourself, locking over yourself a mold of people who you do not want to be like? There is a way out of this mold. And it's easy and hard all at the same time. The way out of this mold is a thing called repentance. Repentance just simply means I'm going in one direction, I'm turning around and going in another direction. And that's some hard stuff, because that means I was walking with this crowd and now I'm not walking with them anymore. It may mean I walk by myself. It may mean I have a hard time finding people who believe and feel the way I do. But that's what happens. That's what it takes. You want to fall on the right side of the roof? Do you really? You want to end up in the right place? The place of blessing? Then you have to make wise decisions about your relationship with people and your relationships with God. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us your word. It's not difficult for us to understand. It may be difficult for us to apply. But God, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us the courage to walk in repentance. To walk, yes, with messed up people, but people who are walking with the Savior. give us courage, God. Help us to take charge truly of our lives. If we are our own person, then give us, God, the will and the power to maybe walk away from some of the relationships that we have that are not good for us, that are not leading us in the right direction. Thank you so much, God, for giving us another chance. Thank you for giving us the power to repent. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.